Hello everyone, welcome back again. I'm glad you've come back because I've got another superstar I'm interviewing today. I have Alex Given, who was in The Book of Mormon, which is fun for me because it's the first person I've interviewed from The Book of Mormon, being a Mormon, which is
amazing.
So how did you feel getting, because you'd flown over, this was your first show in the UK, wasn't it?
Yes, I'm originally from Australia. It was a crazy experience. Getting this job and flying to the other side of the world and getting to do a dream job. It's been a lovely kind of peak of my career so far.
And are you here to stay now in the UK?
Look, I think so. Who knows what the future holds, but at the moment I'm going to stick around because I've got my British passport, so that makes it very easy for me to live here.
Exciting. So how long were you in the Book of Mormon for? How long was your run?
I did a year contract in the Book of Mormon. Just finished in February this year, pre-isolation lockdown. I did a year plus the 4 weeks, 5 weeks rehearsal pre the contract.
Okay, cool. So your year of being in the Book of Mormon, did you feel sort of lucky that you finished before lockdown?
Yes, I think it's this lockdown has made it so difficult for everyone. It's such a crazy, confusing time. So I guess in a lot of ways, I'm lucky to have finished before that. But who knows what's going to happen as a result.
So we were talking before the interview and you said your favourite song was Turn It Off. Was there anything that every night in Book of Mormon you were excited for one certain part? Was it that song or was it just, was there anything specifically that you...
Do you know what? I think I was excited to do the whole thing every night. I mean, it's such an energetic, funny, amazing show that... You know that there was not a single night that the audience weren't laughing hysterically and having a great time. So I think I was excited to do the whole thing. But you're right, Turn It Off was my favourite. And I think, I mean, the reveal, the waistcoat reveal is always a favourite of people who come to see the show. And although it's very scary to do yourself, it's exciting. I know that people like that part.
So it's funny because there's some missionaries from my church that are in the place that I live. And one of the last things they did before the lockdown was go and hand out leaflets outside the Book of Mormon.
We met quite a few of them, actually. They're quite often at the front of the theatre and sometimes they even help out. A couple of times when I went out, they were outside helping with the ticket lottery before the show.
They definitely made brilliant. Sending real Mormons down there to... I knew it was
there. Brilliant. And sometimes after the show, if they're still there handing out books, people from the audience will come out and say, "Oh, you were really great in the show." and they're like, "Nope, not me."
Oh, so before you did The Book of Mormon, not necessarily directly before, but you said that one of your favorite shows you've done was West Side Story.
Yes. I love West Side Story so much. There's so much about that show that I love. From the music, it's just such dramatic, beautifully written music. And another part that was my favourite was getting to do the original Jerome Robbins choreography, which is so special. It's bloody difficult, but it's just so exciting to dance. So it's definitely a massive tick on my bucket list to do that show.
So if they ever asked you to do it in the UK, would that be an easy choice for you?
I think so. I mean, I'm 30 next year, so I don't know how many more years I'll be able to kick a leg like in West Side Story. But I mean, if they'd have me, I'd love West Side Story. Just to listen to that music every night, I'd be a happy lad.
So if any producers are watching from West Side Story, you know who to call. So how long were you in West Side Story for? Was that a year?
No, that was a short run in Melbourne. How many years ago now? 6 years ago, maybe five years ago. But I loved every second. Although a tricky thing about doing a show like West Side Story is it's got quite a, I would say depressing, but it's got a very like sad ending. So it's quite difficult as an actor to finish your night on a bit of a low and then try and pick yourself up again to go and see friends and family. And it's a weird dynamic in the cast, I think. Because, I mean, it's the polar opposite to doing the Book of Mormon, which is so positive and uplifting and happy. So you leave the theatre and you feel amazing. So it's nice to do it. It was nice to do a show like that.
So was that a part that you always wanted, or was that a more of you realised you loved it after doing it?
As in West Side Story?
Yeah.
I mean, I've always loved theatre. I've wanted to perform in theatre since I can remember. So I think I've always had that in me. But I mean, I think when West Side Story was auditioning, I just knew, that's one of those shows that I just knew that I wanted to be in. So I did everything I could to get in and luckily succeeded.
Amazing. So before that, you did Strictly Ballroom. Was that the one that you'd, what's the word, or in the original cast for?
Yes. So it was a bit of a crazy coincidence. Not a coincidence, but it had already been cast and I was in another show at the time. I think I was doing South Pacific or something along those lines. And that was coming to an end. And they'd already started rehearsals. They had a very long rehearsal period because it was a new show, Baz Luhrmann directing. And they had maybe a month of previews. And during the preview process, a young lad in the ensemble broke his ankle. And so I was flown from Melbourne to Sydney to audition for them. I was in a room with all the creatives for about 5 hours, going through every single different type of ballroom technique, had to sing 4 songs. Then they got me to do some scene work and I was just exhausted. And then just before I got my flight home to Melbourne, they said, "You've got the job. Can you start work in 2 days' time?" So I had to go home to Melbourne, pack all my stuff, fly back to Sydney and start the process. So my first day of rehearsals was opening night of the world premiere of Strictly Ballroom.
But were you glad that you got the part after doing 5 hours in a room doing 4 songs?
Absolutely was. I mean, it was all worth it. Sometimes it's very difficult, but then when you pull it off, then it's all worth it in the end. But it was a very tiresome time having to learn a whole show. I think I only ended up getting a week and a half of rehearsals before I was thrown on stage. Didn't get a tech, didn't get to do a running costume, and I was lifting girls in these 20 kilo dresses. It was nuts. But it's one of those things that you end up doing and you go, if I could do that, then I can do anything. So it was a very big learning experience for me.
Amazing. So another show you've done is My Fair Lady, and you had someone fly over to you for that who was very exciting, didn't you?
Yes. So I was lucky enough to be cast in My Fair Lady at the Sydney Opera House. And we had the one and only Dame Julie Andrews fly over from England to direct us for 6 weeks. It was the 60th anniversary of the show, which she obviously originated, the role of Eliza Doolittle. And so it was just a bizarre 6 weeks of, I think it took me at least 2 weeks of the rehearsal period to stop staring at her. Just thinking that Mary Poppins is in the room giving us hugs. And she was so warm and so loving and she knows the show so well. So it was a privilege to learn such an iconic show off the lady herself.
Was it terrifying as well, though, knowing that she'd originated roles and you were there just trying to...
Totally. It was added pressure for us. But a cool little side story is my nan, Sheila, she was born and raised in Ireland, but lived a bit in London. She saw the original production of My Fair Lady 60 years ago, or 60 years when we did the production ago, in London with Dame Julie Andrews playing Eliza Doolittle, then moved her family over to Australia, and then 60 years later, her grandson was in the production of My Fair Lady being directed by Dame Julie Andrews. So it was amazing to have her in the audience for that, a bit of a full circle moment for her.
So now in 60 years time, you're going to be directing My Fair Lady when your grandchild is...
Exactly. We'll make that...
going. Every 60 years, you've got to do something with My Fair Lady.
That'd be lovely.
So your first professional show was Anything Goes?
It was.
How was that? I'm sure you can remember getting that part knowing it was your first professional show.
I'm pretty sure. Oh, it was my first. I just signed with an agent. I was still studying at the time. I was still studying music theatre in Melbourne. And my agent called me in and sat me down, and she said, she just put a lump of paper in front of me, and I was like, "What's this?" And she said, "This is your first contract." I think I just yelled. I don't know what I did. I was so excited. So it was crazy, because I also had to, for that show, because I was still studying and they wouldn't let me leave, obviously, I was at school for 6 hours a day, and then I would go and do the show overnight time. So it was exhausting.
That missed a bit. I can't imagine how exhausting that is, because I got exhausted just doing school on my phone.
Yeah, I mean, I was semi-used to the exhaustion, though, because I, when I moved to Melbourne from Tasmania, where I grew up, I couldn't afford to, we didn't have a lot of money, and so my school fees had to be paid by me working full-time outside of doing full-time study. So for my first few years, I was doing 9 to 6, performing school, and then working in a restaurant from 6:30 to midnight every night. So I was used to the the heavy schedule. Maybe that was training. Maybe that was the world training me up for being able to get through Anything Goes. But no, it was a crazy time, but I was very, very thankful to be in the show.
Amazing. So we're coming close to the end of this interview, which is sad because it's been amazing. Thank you for coming on the show.
My pleasure.
Anyone who has been watching my interviews before will know that now I'm going to ask you some questions that I haven't necessarily prepared you for.
Okay.
Well, the first one I did, and that was, if you could be in any musical for one night only, as any character with no gender roles or age roles, full costume, full sound, who would you be, what musical, and why?
Do you know what? I would love to be one of the Dream Girls from Dream Girls. I think that would be so much fun, just to get out there. I'd get in a dress, even. I'd get in a full shimmery dress, and I would sing. They belt their absolute heads off for that whole song. So I'd be one of the Dream Girls.
So if any Dream Girls producers are watching, you know who to call. But
sign me up. Yeah.
Good answer. The next question I ask is, it should be an easy one for some people who listen to, who are in musical theatre, and it's, if you had to choose between never seeing colour again or never listening to music again, what would you pick?
Well, that is an easy one for me, because I'm semi-colourblind, so I can barely see colour as it is, so I'd scrap colour.
That would have been such a plot twist if you were like, I'm semi-colourblind, so I just never listen to music again.
Be a strange choice, but no, I'd scrap colour. I'm used to it.
Awesome. So the third question is, listen carefully because some people get confused, but it is, if you had to pick between either only listening to one cast recording for the rest of your life, or listening to any cast recording but never going back to it ever again after you listen to it, what would you pick?
I'd have to pick the second option. I'd have to get a new, every time I listen, there was a new soundtrack. I like variety. I'd get so sick of listening to the one cast recording. I'd go crazy.
Good choice. This question is the most random question I have, but I live in Wales, so there's a lot of sheep here. And my question is, if you had to pick between never singing again or being a badly singing sheep for the rest of your life, what would you pick?
Being a well singing sheep or
no, a badly singing sheep?
Never singing, me never singing, or being a badly singing sheep. I'd have to be me. I'm stuck with being a sheep. That wouldn't work for me. They have such boring lives.
Yeah, and something people forget when I ask them is that you'd change into the sheep, so you'd remember being human as well.
Yeah. No, that's not a good option for me.
So you'd easily give up singing instead of being a sheep.
I'd rather not sing. I can still dance.
Good choice. Last question is, if you could be any Disney princess, which one would you be and why?
Oh, good question. I would be do you know what? I think I watched recently, you know, weird choice for me, but Princess and the Frog.
Tiana.
Yeah. I like her because she's hardworking. She has a dream and she's not given up. So that's my choice. I'd be Tiana.
Good choice. That was my final question, sadly. But thank you for coming on the show. Thank you for...
My absolute pleasure.
I'm sure you're very busy in lockdown.
Just a very busy schedule. Just meetings. Hey, it was my pleasure.
And... if anyone wants to follow you on social media, what's your social media name?
On Instagram, I'm Alex Given. On Twitter, I'm Alex Given 23. That's about it.
All are 22 other Alex Givens on Twitter.
There must be. Instagram. I'll hunt them down.
Just make it so you're the only one.
Yeah, exactly. There can only be one.
Just so everyone knows, this interview is to raise money for Acting for Others. So I'm going to put a link in the description down there. So make sure you donate as much of this as you can, because it's very important right now, especially with this
Absolutely.
Whole lockdown, coronavirus pandemic. Is there anything you want to say about it?
I think it's so important. This is such a crazy time for all of us, especially for actors, because for a lot of us, we are self-employed, and that is the government doesn't seem to be doing a huge amount for people who are self-employed, especially, and some of the companies are not paying their actors during this crazy time. So there's a lot of people with families, people with other businesses, people trying to pay off their mortgages. So give as much money as you can. It's a very worthy cause.
Amazing. So is there any advice you have for anyone that's stuck at home right now?
At home?
Yeah.
I think just to do things that you enjoy. Don't put so much stress on yourself. I think there's a lot of pressure when looking at social media that people are picking up a new skill and baking focaccias and like getting down into the splits and doing yoga 6 times a day. If that's what you want to do to keep yourself busy, that's amazing, but don't put pressure on yourself. Just it's a crazy time. So just if getting out of bed and making yourself a nice meal is enough for you on that day, then that is great.
Amazing. You guys heard it from the superstar, so make sure you follow that advice. And thank you again for coming on the show. It's been amazing.
My pleasure.
And I will just finish by saying to everyone watching out there, remember my advice, remember what I always say,